This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Ron Warnick is our guest. Ron is the president and the chief guy behind Route66News.com, tremendous website about the Mother Road. Ron, welcome to WSMI this afternoon.
Thank you.
I was curious, Ron, the website is absolutely terrific, by the way, and we're all excited that the Ariston was voted the number one restaurant up and down the route. But your website, how long has it been around? When did you start it?
Well, it will mark its 10th anniversary this October. I began it almost 10 years ago because there were a number of print publications devoted to news about Route 66, but they were just quarterly. They came out only four times a year. So I saw a need for a more timely source of news. And I figured the internet was a good place to put it out there. The problem is that if there was a breaking news and if the Route 66 community needs to mobilize on an endangered property or something like that, the print publications wouldn't have it out for weeks or even months. So I thought that the internet was a good way to get the word out there on something big going on.
So basically the idea for the website came about from a matter of timeliness more than anything else.
Yes.
Okay.
And plus I also have some journalistic background, and I figured I could use that to call people up if I heard something and ask questions and write stories that are short and informative. The website uses a lot of material from other newspapers, and I don't see a big reason to change that dramatically, but sometimes you can add context to those stories that are missing in the newspaper stories that the reporter might have missed at the time.
Well, certainly someone who's got the time and energy that you've devoted and the love that you've got for the Route 66 and all that it represents, it's understandable you'd probably add to it. And speaking of time and energy, how much time and energy do you devote to the website? Because it looks really, really complete.
Yeah, it's usually about an hour a day, sometimes more depending on what's going on. There's always, hold on, my dog just raising a cane here. I spend about an hour a day on the site, and sometimes more. There's always some, mechanical stuff you have to work on occasionally, but fortunately that doesn't happen very often. The interesting part was I use blog software for the site. I wasn't actually planning on that, but it was one of those things as I was investigating what would be the best format for a Route 66 News website. It seemed like blogs were the best that fit my needs, especially in terms of archives and Google searches and things like that. So that's the reason I went that direction.
Okay. Our guest is Ron Warnick, the founder of Route 66 News, which you can find at Route66News.com. A wonderful internet source for all things Route 66, the Mother Road. Ron, I got to ask, how did you get the idea for the restaurant list? How did it come about?
Well, a few months ago, I also did a poll on the top Route 66 icons. And it's one of those ideas I've been stewing in my head for a long time, because I'd get emails from readers asking me, what are the top attractions on Route 66? And I had a hard time giving them just 10.
Well, there's so many.
Because there are so many. And I thought, well, let's see what the folks out there think. And I put up a poll a few months ago, and it got a lot of traffic. And it helped. A lot of people chimed in, and, of course, it started arguments as well. people chimed in on what they thought their top ones were, and I thought, well, I'll go ahead and expand it to restaurants, this poll format, because there are so many restaurants on Route 66. I thought it would be good to do a poll as well on simply restaurants. And I wasn't terribly surprised by all the results. I was surprised by a few, but that one turned out well. I think it as well. The I did get I did set a record for traffic on
I'll
the
bet.
Day the results of the poll was released. So it did very well.
I as I look at the list and counting down from number 20, starting with the Comet. The Comet 2 drive-in in Santa Rosa, all the way down to the Ariston. There's about basically everybody is, every state is represented, except, did I miss California? Are they not on there?
Yeah, they're not on there because not enough people voted for their favorite restaurants in California, apparently. I don't think it's weakness so much of California voters are so they're certainly not bad restaurants in California. I'll attest to that. But I've tried to figure out why the Midwestern states and Illinois in particular did so well in the voting. And I think I've come up with two reasons. Number one, Illinois is a fairly popular state on Route 66. That's one. You know, California is the only one that's bigger. And secondly is the Route 66 community in Illinois is very active. And I think they were very motivated to vote much more than the California Route 66 people. The Illinois Route 66 Association is a very active, and it's got a lot of members. And the California Association does have its enthusiasts, but they just don't have nearly as many people. And I don't think the interest is as high.
And I noticed nothing in Chicago, where Route 66 starts. But, boy, central Illinois all the way down through Missouri and Oklahoma sure showed up.
Yes. Yeah, there's some great places along there. Like I said, there were a couple surprises. I was really surprised DeKalb Junction finished so high. I've been there, and I think it's a fun place. But I was honestly surprised it finished so strongly. And I have never been able to ascertain why that occurred, but I'm not complaining either.
You know, DeKalb Junction primarily, of course, open in the evening. I've driven by it so many times. Before I first found it open, I drove by it so many times, and I thought, what a shame, what a ghost town. And then I went in there one night, and it was the most hopping place in 100 miles. So I just was so shocked by that, and I understand why it's loved by so many people. Certainly, some of the other places, you know, Route 4, it's old Route 66 connection, the Whirl-A-Whip up there in Girard. What a cool little ice cream stand that is.
And yes, I've been to the Whirl-A-Whip, and that's one of those places that technically isn't on old Route 66 in Girard, but it's, you know, just a few blocks away. But obviously people have found it, so that's good for them.
Oh, yeah. And the Route 66 restaurant in Hamel, you know, which was Ernie's for the most number of years, and then Scotty's, and now Wheezy's. But that building, that's an iconic spot along the Route 66 part that's now Illinois 157.
Yes, that's a fun place to go to. In fact, when I was at Rich Henry's place, with some other volunteers to do some cleanup work on his property at the Henry's Rabbit Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we went afterwards for a meal and a cold beer. And it was a great place to go after you've been working in hot sun for a few hours.
One last question on this segment. What what in your mind was the criteria to make it to the top 20? Was it anything beyond, gee, this is just my favorite place and I'm voting for it, or anything special?
Yeah, I've been trying to determine that. It just seems like the places that finished strongly had a strong sense of place and history. Like I said, I left it up to the voters to determine what they liked the best, but that seems to be the overriding sentiment on the vote totals, was a lot of these places had been there for a long time and served the community for many years, decades even. And you know, not only were these places good places to eat, but they've been fixtures of the area, and they've brought their own, you know, they've acquired their own history over that time.
Ron Warnick's our guest, the founder and editor, publisher of Route 66 News, and so the website Route66News.com, an outstanding area for you to go to find out all things devoted to the Mother Road, and the website that recently picked the Ariston as the number one restaurant. Ron, I notice we've got the Missouri Hick Barbecue down in Cuba. Cuba, certainly the city of murals on Route 66, and a lot of history in that area.
Yeah, Cuba's a little gem of a town, and I should mention that the Missouri Hick Barbecue is right next door to the historic Wagon Wheel Motel, which has been there since the 1930s, and is a wonderful place to stay overnight. It was a motel that was completely restored a few years ago, but they did it in a way that it doesn't compromise the historic feel or look of the place.
I skipped over number 8, the Big Texan Steak Ranch down in Amarillo. That's the place where the 24-year-old mom just put down 3 teams of 2, eating 3 72-ounce steaks in 20 minutes. That was quite a deal.
Yeah, I watched the part of the video in which she was eating those 3 steaks, and let's just say she didn't use a knife and a fork.
No, she certainly never.
She ate a cavewoman style, where she just picked up that big piece of meat and started chewing on it, ripping off big chunks, and it was amazing to see, considering this woman weighs over 120 pounds.
That's what I was going to say. That's the incredible part to me. She ate about 10% of her weight. That's crazy. Now,
well, she got $6,000 prize for her trouble, so I suppose it was worth it.
I would say so. Number 5 was Ted Drew's, and then all the rest of them are Illinois. What's your opinion of Ted Drew's?
Oh, Ted Drew's is wonderful. Ted Drew's has been in the St. Louis area since the early 30s. And one thing I found out about it, in case your listeners don't know, it's a frozen custard stand, in which the frozen custard is so thick you can turn the cup it's in upside down and the custard won't fall out. It's mm-hmm. delicious stuff. And you can make the custard in a whole variety of flavors and concoctions. But anyway, I found out a few years ago that the Ted Drew's recipe was essentially perfected during World War II. And what happened was, because of World War II rationing, there were sugar shortages across the United States. And Ted Drew's is having a hard time getting sugar to make his custard. And they decided to go down to a local drugstore and buy a bunch of honey bottles, because honey was not being rationed. And they've added honey instead of sugar to the custard, and they found out inadvertently that it improved the custard considerably. Ted Drew's will not reveal its secret recipe, but they will allow that honey is part of the custard recipe, and it is a vital part of that recipe.
That really surprised me when I saw that on the website, and also that it actually started out in Florida.
Yes, it was only in Florida for a couple of years. It started in 1929 in Florida, and then the original Mr. Drew's moved to the St. Louis area about 1931 and opened a stand there.
Number four was the Old Log Cabin in Pontiac, and I suppose the only reason Funk's Grove didn't come up was they just primarily do their maple syrup now, and the pig hip, I was a little surprised that didn't show up. But the Old Log Cabin in Pontiac, that obviously had their share of fans, too.
But to go back to the Funk's Grove is technically not a restaurant, so that didn't make the list because that's not what it is. And the Pig Hip has been closed for a number of years, and we only allowed restaurants that are actually open and operating on the restaurant's pole. Now, the Log Cabin has quite a story. It actually has two alignments of Route 66 running around the building. You have the old alignment of original Illinois Highway 4 behind the building, and then you have the newer alignment which runs in front of the building. And what happened was, when they moved Route 66 a few dozen feet to the west, the owners of the Old Log Cabin jacked up the building and used a team of horses to turn the building all the way around to face the new Route 66.
That's amazing. That's amazing. The Crossroads Diner in Mount Olive, I didn't want to be remiss and leave it out. Crossroads, in its current configuration, relatively new, I guess, amongst some of the others that have been around for much longer, kind of like the mill, like the Pig Hip, long gone but remembered by so many people.
Yes.
You have the Cozy Dog in Springfield as number three. The Chili Parlor was number 11, so a couple places in Springfield on the list as well. But certainly the Cozy Dog and the story behind inventing that Cozy Dog is certainly worth telling.
Yeah, it was Ed Waldmeier who, if he didn't invent the Cozy, or I'm sorry, if Ed Waldmeier didn't invent the corn dog, he certainly perfected it. Apparently, there have been other attempts to make a sort of a corn dog, but they just failed because the batter wouldn't stick to the wiener or something like that. He came up with this recipe while he was in the Air Force out in Texas, and he brought it back with him when he came back to his home area around Springfield. And he opened the Cozy Dog in the late 1940s, right along Route 66 there. Incidentally, the Cozy Dog isn't in the original location of the Cozy Dog, but there is a drugstore at the original location, and Ed Waldmeier simply moved the restaurant a few feet north to the current location.
Mm.
And it's been there for decades since. It's also interesting that the Cozy Dog is an unofficial home for Bob Waldmeier, who was a renowned Route 66 artist, who was the son of Ed Waldmeier. And they have a lot of his artwork inside the restaurant. Now, Bob died of cancer a few years ago, but it's, a lot of people miss Bob, and they cherish the time they spent with him and his artwork. And you can still see much of Bob Waldmeier's artwork and his postcards and his other works inside that restaurant.
I was going to say, that's probably more memorabilia and more memorabilia for sale with his artwork on it there than any other restaurant up and down the whole Mother Road that I've ever seen, because they put it on so many things, and it's really enjoyable to take a look. And the Cozy Dogs are outstanding. When we come back...
Yeah, I should...
I'm sorry.
I should add that Bob Waldmeier also was a vegetarian. So it was tough for him to eat a lot of the things that was offered at his own dad's restaurant. But apparently the family kept some tofu dogs around so they could make a cozy dog that would meet Bob's vegetarian needs.
That's why I wanted to talk to you, Ron, because I knew there were stories that we could get to if we just kept on talking. Finally, we're getting around to what so many people listening have been waiting for, and that is to talk a bit about the Ariston being voted the number one restaurant on Route 66. And congratulations to Nick and Demi and, of course, the whole family about the Ariston. Ron Warnick, the founder of Route 66 News, conducted this survey, and the votes came in hot and heavy for the number one restaurant up and down Route 66.
Yeah, Ariston won easily in this poll, beating the number two, the runner-up, by a nearly 2-1 margin. That it didn't surprise me too much that this happened. I've actually heard from Michael Wallace, who's the author of Route 66 to Mother Road, a best-selling book from the 1990s about Route 66. And he told me by email that personally that the Ariston would be his number one restaurant. He would hoped that it would be. And I had high confidence that if it wasn't going to finish number one, it would finish very high. It finished even more strongly than I ever anticipated.
When I just talked to Nick a couple of days ago and told him that I was going to be doing the interview with you, he laughed and he said, I just got a phone call from someone telling me that I had the number one pork tenderloin up and down Route 66 as well. So he said, I wasn't aware there was even a poll going, but I'm glad to have won it. So it's amazing the number of people who know the Ariston. I mean, from the Budweiser neon, the good food neon, just the iconic look of the building. And, of course, there's another situation where the restaurant was right smack in the middle of two incarnations of Route 66.
Yes, it was. I have forgotten all the details about that, but yes, it had faced two alignments of 66 during its long history. The restaurant's been there since the 1930s or so. It originally started in Carlinville, but the owner decided to pack up and move to Litchfield not long after he opened it in Carlinville. I really like the Ariston for a number of reasons because, number one, it's really good at offering a variety of cuisines for the traveler, and it's got that amazing dessert plate that they bring out to you at the end of your meal. It's really hard to resist once you see what they offer on that dessert plate.
The wooden booths are cool.
Yeah, and the whole interior of the restaurant is basically like out of the past. Those amazing wooden booths off to the side have to be at least 50 years old, and they are obviously maintained just superbly. The Adam family does a superb job running the restaurant. And I think one thing that I mentioned about the Ariston was I think the Adam family has done a good job bringing a touch of class to the whole experience. Yes, they are a diner, and I wouldn't call them strictly a fine dining restaurant, but you can see it from there. I think they go a little bit above the extra mile in helping customers and giving a unique experience there.
It is unique. It's hard to call it a diner when there's cloth tablecloths, But at the same time, the counter, and you can get a beer there. And I love the old menu on the wall that shows, from, I think it was back from 1930-something, maybe even 1924, when it started. You know, a martini was 80 cents. I wish they were today.
Yeah.
the place is awesome.
I think I vaguely recall that menu where I think steaks were like $2.50 or something like that.
What's next for your project? Hotels, gas stations, truck stops?
I'm looking at probably hotels for the next poll. I don't know when I'll be doing that. The thing is, with the website, I update it almost every day. There's a story that pops up almost every day that I have to get on the website one way or the other. I had one come in last night about a new Pixar film. It'll be a short film that'll be out in November that is inspired by a real-life Route 66 motel in California. And so I dutifully put that on there. The thing is, when I started Route 66 News, I had a goal to average one story a day on the website. And because I figured there was enough going on that there would be at least one story a day. And it's pretty much held to that. There have been more than 7,000 stories on Route 66 News since it launched in October 2005.
Ron, your website is incredible, and you could read it for hours and hours and hours. I've really enjoyed the time I've got to spend on it. And I'll make sure that our listeners know and go check it out. Our guest has been Ron Warnick, the founder of Route 66 News. You can check it out at Route66News.com and the archive, 10 years worth of fabulous stories about Route 66. The latest one, the Ariston Cafe, being voted the top restaurant all up and down Route 66. Congratulations to Nick and Demi and their whole family. Congratulations to you, Ron, for great success on the website. We look forward to what's next.
Thank you very much.